Father, we thank you so much that we can come here into your house and we can receive from you. I thank you, God, for every student that's in here. Lord, this is your will. This hour, this moment, this time, right now, that we would be encouraged through the word of God amongst one another, hearing testimony, worshiping, and realizing furthermore that this walk with you, Jesus Christ, is a calling and a commissioning to go. And so we say yes. And so, Father God, in these few minutes, stir our hearts once again. May all that we read in Scripture, all that we write down in paper, be the equipping for us to go. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you in advance for the great work that's going to be done all over the world that will come out of this sanctuary right here at Summit. I give you the glory and the honor. In your name I pray. Amen. The title I was given from Pastor Teresa is Disciple the Nations. But I'm going to add to it, and I'd love for you to write it down. Disciple the Nations and go with the Radical One. Disciple the Nations and go with the Radical One. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. And I'm beginning with verse 5. I'm going to read first verse 5 through 8, and then I'm going to jump over to verse 26 and continue on. I can safely assume that all of you are familiar with the story of Philip. We're beginning with Acts chapter 8, verse 5 through 8. Just to get the full context of all of what's happening with Philip and the radical transition that he makes. In Acts chapter 8, verse 5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. It was quite a move that Philip made in going to Samaria. A bold move. An exciting one to take this missions trip to be an evangelist and proclaim Jesus Christ. In verse 6, and the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. That's amazing. So he goes into the city of Samaria, and here the Bible gives us this understanding that there was no resistance when he talked about Jesus Christ, that there was complete unity amongst the crowd to fully receive everything that he had to share about Jesus. They were in one accord, attentive, as they heard him and as they saw the signs that he did. So not only was he speaking and preaching Jesus, but there were signs and wonders that were happening with Philip. And in verse 7, for unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in the city. There was revival going on in Samaria. I mean, it was a really good look for Philip. I mean, you want to talk about being able to step out in faith, go into a city, begin to preach Jesus, and then get these overwhelming, unexpected results where everybody there is in one accord. So there's now unity in Samaria. There's deliverance going on in Samaria. There's healing going on in Samaria. There's salvation going on in Samaria. I mean, it's just a powerful time in the presence of God. Philip's ministry was booming. It was rocking. I mean, if there was social media in this time, Philip would be that very popular revivalist that we would see all over YouTube, all over social media. We'd be quoting his messages. We'd watch his videos. He'd be that guy. where everything was just moving. I mean, probably at this point in this time right now, if Philip was around now, we'd be reading his books, you know. And it was such a stir and such a move of God that Peter and John caught wind of what was going on in Samaria. And so they decide to show up and join this amazing revival. And scripture tells us that the people that were in Samaria had not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit. So Peter and John show up. And scripture tells us that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, it just don't get better than that. I mean, it's just amazing ministry. I can only imagine Philip just saying, man, thank you, God, for just bringing me here to this place called Samaria. Thank you so much, Lord. Man, this is it. I've heard your word. I've responded. And it's amazing. When things are going well in ministry, we'll quickly conclude that this is the spot to be, and I'm going nowhere else. And it's amazing how the success of your ministry will often determine the direction you'll continue to go. But then the Holy Spirit tells Philip to go somewhere else. Verse 26. And this is interesting too, just to let you know, like prior to this, at this point, with like everything going on with Samaria, you know, after what had happened with Peter and John showing up, then what happened was they were going to make their way to Jerusalem. I think about Philip, who was probably like, man, oh my goodness, I'm at the peak of my ministry. I mean, God, I mean, now Peter and John are here, and I'm rolling with those guys. I mean, like, man, this is good. And all of a sudden, verse 26, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. The Holy Spirit tells Philip to go to a desert place. You've got to be submitted to the Holy Spirit's leading at all times. Go where he tells you to go. It's interesting, something I kind of looked at. A lot of times we think that the dry season that we go through is preparing us for the big harvest experience. But you ever thought that sometimes the big harvest experience is preparing you for a dry season that God might take you through? Here he was having this big harvest experience in Samaria. And then now the Holy Spirit says, I need you to go to a desert place. And a desert place is not as clear as the city place. The city is hugely populated, lots of people to tell about Jesus Christ. But the desert place doesn't seem like it's just the most attractive picture. Sometimes God will draw us to those places that are less attractive, so that when we get there, all that we'll be able to say is Jesus Christ was glorified. Sometimes God will send us out to places that just don't make sense, that aren't very clear. Oftentimes God loves to move like that. When the picture seems a little blurry, when everything seems a little foggy, challenging you and I to continue to move and step out in faith. You see, your ministry service shouldn't be influenced by what's trending, but always motivated by wherever God is sending you. Samaria was trending. Everything that was going on, unified, together, miracles, deliverance, it was trending. It was popular. It would have been trending on Twitter. Samaria. It would have popped up in your news feed. Maybe God is calling you to that place where it's not very trendy, where it's not very attractive. Matter of fact, you don't see anybody. And you may not see results for days, for weeks, for years. But you'll go because the Holy Spirit told you to go. You see, your comfort is in the Holy Spirit and not in your ministry position. Your comfort is not in the Holy, it's not in your ministry position. It's in the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm talking about? Sometimes based upon how well ministry is going for you, how well things are going for you on the mission field, how well things are going for you on this evangelistic project, depending on how comfortable you are, will determine whether you feel like God is in it or not. But where God might lead you to a place where you're very uncomfortable, where it doesn't seem like there's much to testify about. I love the fact that Izzy came up here and just said, look, he just, in the 2-3 minutes he had, just said, look, what I thought was going to be a comfortable position for me was getting plugged in right here in a full-time position. That's the reward that I thought I was going to have. I thought the Holy Spirit was going to tell me that. And instead, Izzy gets up here and makes boasts about driving a van back and forth to bring in Costco supplies. That will always be a great boast as long as it's the Holy Spirit that's told you to go. By the way, by profession, Philip was a food distributor. That was his position in ministry, to distribute food. See, when you're submitted and committed to the role and the position God has called you, you can always expect progression in the work that you're doing. Advancement in the calling. Supernatural transition. Miracles and breakthrough. In the journey of what you've been called to do, to disciple the nations, go and do exactly what you've been asked to do and expect miracles in no matter what position that you're in. So suddenly a food distributor is called to go to a desert place. No, wait a second. God, I was in a desert place as a food distributor for a long time. Then you called me to Samaria. And now suddenly I'm supposed to go to the desert. Well, the last thing he had just experienced was the entire city having joy, is what scripture says. That the entire city was filled with joy. Imagine you going back to your city once you're done with Summit. And God using you in this radical way where your entire city is accustomed to everyday ongoing celebration in Jesus Christ. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit speaks to you in your private time and says, I need you to go to a desert. I'm just telling you to go. I haven't even told you who you're going to talk to. I haven't even told you how many people are in that area of the desert. I'm just telling you to go. Wow. You see, your obedience to the Holy Spirit will keep you from touching God's glory. Some of us, we might want to linger around in Samaria for a little bit because the affirmation and the glory starts to feel like something that belongs to you. It starts to feel good. Oh, snap. I just saw somebody just quoted me on Facebook. And you look for it. You love it when somebody comes up to you and goes, oh, man. Oh, Pastor, thank you so much for that word. Man, I've been sharing that word with like all of my friends. And oh, man, it's just God's just stirring up like my whole neighborhood. And you know that moment when you shared a good word and somebody brings it back to your memory or compliments you or affirms you. There is always that constant struggle of like, yeah, glory to Jesus. Yeah, God, you're so moving on me right now. Man, this is it. And I tell you, man, we can't touch the glory of God. Your obedience to the Holy Spirit will keep you from touching the glory of God. It'll keep you moving. It'll keep you going. Not getting comfortable in one position, not getting comfortable with one particular culture, not getting comfortable with one particular church. If God's called you to be in that church long term, then you stay put and you don't move unless the Holy Spirit tells you to move. But if God is calling you to go on the mission field, if he's calling you to go and evangelize, if he's calling you to go and it seems like all the plans haven't been worked out, go! Go! Verse 27, he rose and he went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. In verse 29, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. You can write this down. Chapter 8, verse 26 through 29, those couple of verses, 26 through 29, represents the preparation that's happening to disciple the nations. It's the preparation moment. You see, as you prepare your heart to go where God calls, he will prepare the heart of those searching for truth. I'll say that again. As you prepare your heart to go where God calls, he will prepare the heart of those searching for truth. The Holy Spirit will never set you up for failure. The Holy Spirit will never set you up for failure. He sets up the moment for Christ to be glorified. Verse 26, it's a desert place. Verse 27, an Ethiopian, a court officer, a treasurer, a religious man, a man with status, a man on a mission, a man on a quest, who's gone to Jerusalem to worship as best as he knows how to, not fully understanding everything, not really knowing, but searching. A man way outside of the culture of Philip. So God brings Philip out of his comfort zone, out of a booming ministry, out of a place where he was very comfortable, out of a place where everybody's rejoicing and shouting, sharing testimony. And right when he was probably ready to plant a church, he gets bumped out by the Holy Spirit. Now he's in a desert place. He doesn't know who he's supposed to talk to. And the only person coming up the road is an Ethiopian in his chariot. The whole situation looks odd. The whole setup looks totally out of place for what he would be capable of doing. I distribute food. This guy handles money. He's African. I don't even know if we speak the same language. I'm not sure if I can articulate the gospel where, as well as I need to. He's reading without knowing. He's seeking without being able to find. But verse 29 made more clear to me. And the Spirit said to Philip, circumstances might look very odd and strange and confusing. But the Spirit said to Philip, I'm hot and I'm tired and I'm dehydrated. But the Spirit said to Philip, I'm overwhelmed. I feel sick. I don't know where the resources are going to come from. But the Spirit said to Philip, this looks really, really impossible right now. And I'm still waiting for the big crowd to show up in the desert right now. But the Spirit said to Philip, this is not what I do. This is not who I am. This is well outside of what I felt and feel like I'm called to do. But the Spirit said to Philip, go. Go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you're reading? I love this. Verse 30 through 35 is the witness moment. 26 through 29 is the preparation. God preparing his heart, preparing the Ethiopian's heart. Now there's the moment where you've been called to be a witness. Now you got to picture this. As As Philip's coming up the road, I kind of sense almost like it's like an intersection that's happening here. And as Philip is making his way coming up at this intersection, right? That all of a sudden, here comes the Ethiopian on his chariot. And all he gets is this from the Holy Spirit. Just go to the chariot. Don't preach nothing yet. I just need you to be in the right place, in the right position for me to continue to do what I want to do. You ever get a sense that God wants you to do something, but you don't have a lot of details to it? You ever thought that maybe the details would scare the mess out of you? So God just sometimes gives you just little pieces that you need, bite-sized pieces, in order for you to trust him every step of the way. It's like your weeks and days here at Summit, right? It's like the big exam that you might have later on this week. Like, oh my gosh, I just, oh geez. Like, oh, I just can't do this no more. Anybody have that moment here at Summit? I just can't do this no more. Okay, I was a teacher here and I had that moment, all right? So come on, somebody be honest with me, all right? And I was only here Mondays and Tuesdays, Christina. You remember those days? I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm about to lose my mind. And the Lord would just say, keep going. Not giving you like the full picture. I just said, just get to the chariot. Oh, okay. All right. Now you got to imagine, like, the chariot's moving at a certain pace. Now, scripture says that at this point, like Philip starts running beside the chariot. So we can safely assume in this moment that the chariot was going at a pace where Philip couldn't speed walk fast enough to keep up with the chariot. So at that point, you gotta just realize how just strange and odd this was. But you know, like Paul said, there are going to be times where we're going to look foolish. We're going to look foolish for Christ, but we will be wise in Christ. So here's now Philip going because he's told to go. He hasn't been told what to say or how to do this. Can you imagine that? Somebody just start running beside you in your car. Okay, lock the doors, roll out the windows. And so the Bible says, Philip is running beside the chariot. And then he hears him reading Isaiah. Ooh, love that. Hey, bro. Sup? How are you? Uh-huh. Hello. Do you know what you're reading? Oh, gosh. I look really silly right now. But that's okay because I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit. I'm exhausted. Samaria didn't look like this. But my comfort is in the Holy Spirit. I don't even know what I'm going to say next. But do you know what you're reading? This is the horse whipping the horse thing? Okay, yeah. Well, how am I supposed to understand what I'm reading if nobody helps me? And for me, that response right there is clearly the evidence of the divine appointment that the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. When you trust the Holy Spirit, the results always come back positive. When you trust the Holy Spirit and just go with him. And then all of a sudden, he gets the invitation to get into the chariot. Whew. Now he's in the chariot. And now, I'm going to speed up. We read what he was reading about. He was reading about Jesus. He didn't know it. He wasn't clear on it. But now this was the moment that Philip would be a witness of who Jesus Christ is. Now this is really awesome. Because he first had to listen in order to speak. You've got to be able to listen to those that are lost. Listen to those that are searching. You see, that is a part of what we have been called to do. That despite we might look foolish running alongside of the chariot, but God has given us his wisdom in Christ. Listening to those that are lost is wisdom in discipleship. Listening. Not your best PowerPoint. Not your best pages of notes from Summit. It begins with listening to the hurting. Listening to the lost. And I believe that Philip took that moment and he listened to the Ethiopian read the scriptures. I believe the Ethiopian continued to read, because as we read on, in verse 34, the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" He's totally lost. He totally doesn't get it. And you all are going back to a generation of people that have a certain level of religiosity without a relationship with Jesus. And you've been called to disciple the nations. And verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth. Which means after he had asked that question, do you understand? Do you know what you're reading? From that point on, up until this point, he had just been listening to the Ethiopian talk. And then he opens his mouth and begins with this scripture. He told him the good news about Jesus. Brothers and sisters, discipleship begins and ends with Jesus Christ. It begins and ends with Jesus. And then we come to this place in verse 36 through 40. And 36 through 40, I'm going to wrap up here. And 36 through 40 represents the commitment that now happens in the life of this Ethiopian. We have the preparation. We have the witness. Now we have this amazing commitment that happens with the Ethiopian. And I love this. As they're going along the road, they come to some water, and the eunuch says, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. They both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptizes him. When they come up out of the water, oh, this is one of my favorite things, the Spirit of the Lord carries Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. Philip found himself at Azotus, and he's passed through, and he preaches the gospel to all the towns until he comes to Samaria. He says this, after hearing a clear gospel, after hearing completely what Jesus Christ did for him on the cross and who he is as Savior, after realizing that all that he was reading in the Old Testament was pointing to the Savior Jesus, because of someone who decided to step out of their comfort zone and walk in faith, trusting that God, not only have you called me to the city, but you've called me to the desert, to go to the far places, to share who Jesus Christ is. And at that moment, his commitment for one soul, creates potentially a turning point for all of Ethiopia. And in this moment, the Ethiopian says, "What's preventing me from getting baptized?" I mean, he really wanted to know. Is there a process? Is there a structure to this? Do we have to go all the way back to Jerusalem in order for me to be baptized? And most likely the Ethiopian faced a lot of partiality and also running into probably racial discrimination in the sense that he was not probably able to get into the furthest places of the synagogue and be able to study because he was Ethiopian. And so for him, he was probably like, "Is this for me? Can I really go all the way? Can I fully commit?" And you're going to find that as you travel the nations, as you preach the gospel, you're going to run into a lot of legalism. You're going to run into a lot of religious bondage. You're going to run into occults that say that you can only get to God a certain way. But will there be a generation that will move in a radical way, in an unorthodox way, to be able to solidify commitments from the lost? And not even worry about time and scheduling and place. to be able to move when the people of God get excited, when there's great zeal. I mean, some of you may have taken mission trips to Africa. It's one of my favorite places to be, to go. When people get excited in Africa about Jesus Christ, oh, the shout, the joy, and the excitement that starts to happen. I don't know where some of my fellow African brothers and sisters are here in the house of the Lord. When I got to Nigeria, I never experienced worship like that. Without hesitation, with a sense of urgency. He just waved the Nigerian flag at me. Thank you, my brother, for coming and raising that flag. He said, how can I get baptized? Let's do this right now, man. I want to get baptized. I've ran into so many roadblocks, and can we do it right now? There's a body of water. We're going right now. All right. Yeah, let's do it. And Philip goes, and there he's baptized in this moment. He moves with the zeal of those that are receiving Jesus Christ. No time down. We're all in. We're going all the way with those that are receiving Jesus Christ. May our joy be able to match their joy. May we never forget the beauty of the cross in the midst of all the work that we have to do. Sometimes we're exhausted. Sometimes we're just like, man, this is feeling redundant. I'm coming in from one chapel to the next. But the beauty of who Jesus Christ is should have you and I sweating out of our clothes at times in our moment of worship. Oh, man, maybe nobody hears me right now. Can I get an amen? You see, I love this story because Philip represents somebody who probably was very exhausted. And very tired. I mean, you've gone from just this explosive big ministry to now into a desert place. Maybe dealing with a little bit of loneliness. Maybe feeling like a little bit of this struggle and adjustment. And realizing that he's not getting the affirmation that he was used to getting in the big city. The pats on the backs, the encouragements, the counsel, the community. Some of you will go on missions trips where your only comfort and your only affirmation will come out of your prayer closet with Jesus. But you will find comfort there. And it will stir your heart to reach one soul at a time. One individual at a time. For the sake of one. It is unbelievable how the Holy Spirit would prompt Philip to go for the sake of one. The Holy Spirit would yank him out of the booming ministry in Samaria for the sake of one. And will you and I be willing to go for the sake of one? And God will take care of you. And then they come up out of the water. I promise I'm done. They come up out of the water. The scripture says the Holy Spirit carried him away. Now that's some supernatural stuff right there. That's beyond Superman picking up somebody, Batman, all that stuff, you know. This is the real deal. For a while, I used to think maybe when they came up out of the water, Philip was gone. But scripture would have told us that. The Ethiopian would have bore witness, and we would have had it in the scripture that when they came up out of the water, Philip was gone. No, scripture says that the Holy Spirit carried him away, which means he came up out of the water like. Y'all like my sound effects, right? You know how you gasp for that little air, that little water come up out of your nose? He didn't even have time to clear his nose and get the water out of his eyes. And next thing you know, he's just flying off. And once again, in the moment of joy, living for the benefit of others, the Holy Spirit moves them on again. The pattern of the Holy Spirit is always that Jesus Christ will be glorified. Sometimes you might not be able to have the time to be in the full celebration of things because you're on the mission. And what a radical ending. To be able to be taken up into the sky with the Holy Spirit. Remember what I said? The title is Disciple the Nations and Go with the Radical One. Well, I was talking about the Holy Spirit in close. You see, write this down. No one is more radical than the Holy Spirit. No one is more radical than the Holy Spirit, which means this. It doesn't matter what kind of personality type you are. All you've got to do is be obedient to the Holy Spirit, and you're going to have a radical experience in your mission to disciple the nations. It doesn't matter if you're extroverted. It doesn't matter if you're an introvert. It doesn't matter if, I'm laid back. It doesn't matter if, I'm not really a public speaker. It doesn't matter what kind of personality type you are. You don't have to worry about that. All you've got to do is just be obedient to the Holy Spirit, because no one is more radical than the Holy Spirit. And your obedience to the Holy Spirit will always create a radical experience when you just go. When you just go. You want a radical ministry? You want a radical missions trip? You want a radical calling to the nations? You want to see radical things happen when you open up your mouth and you speak in the authority of the Father and disciple people? Go with the Holy Spirit. No one's more radical than Him. It's only the Holy Spirit that can stir up an entire city and then move you to the desert and touch the life of an Ethiopian and then pick you up right off the ground and take you to the next place. And God had moved on Philip in such a way that he just began to move from one town to the next town. Because at this point, it was no longer dependent on the crowd or the masses, but he knew that his life was committed in obedience to the Holy Spirit to reach one life at a time. And that's it, I'm done. Music ministry, come on up here. I just want you to go. I just want you to disciple the nations and go with the radical one. Go with the radical one. You just trust God. Now here's what I'm going to do. And I'm getting out the way. And however it closes, however it closes. I want you to do this. I'm not going to do an altar call. But because this is a missions conference, and because you're in this wonderful strategic position this week to just trust God and say, God, where are you telling me to go? Holy Spirit, I want to be obedient to you. I want to, when I come out of summit, I want to hear your voice, and I just want to go where you tell me to go. It might be the city or it might be the desert. Well, here's what I want you to do. Girls with girls, guys with guys. I think you know that already. But I want to just take some time and just pray with one another. But strategic prayer. And God might stir your hearts in a particular way when we do this. I want you to just find a brother in twos or threes. Find a sister. Maybe somebody you know. Maybe somebody you don't know. And I want you to ask them about their city. And just take a minute and tell them about your city. It doesn't matter to me whether you come from a small town right here in the United States or a big city somewhere overseas. But just say, tell me what your city's like, just in a couple sentences. And then vice versa. And then each person should share about their city. Then you do this. Pray for one another's city. Pray. Some of you might be sitting here, look, there's nothing going on in my city but Waffle House, all right? Waffle House, a.k.a. Awful House. That's all we do. We just go to Waffle House, go to church, Waffle House. Well, fine. If that's where all the young people gather in your town, let's begin to pray that God will meet young people in the Waffle House in that midnight hour. That God will stir the heart of somebody to go. I mean, it's like totally the desert place, non-attractive type ministry, right? But who's going to go? Who's going to feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit to go in obedience when God says, go to that, stop at that Waffle House right now. There's about 15, 20 young people in there. Somebody needs to talk and tell them about Jesus. Who's going to be radical enough to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and go? Some of you might get your heart stirred to just go to a small town out of this little time of prayer. Can we take 3 or 4 minutes? Find somebody right now. I'm going to stop talking. Find somebody right now and let's begin to pray for their town or their city. Only take a minute. Only takes a minute just to hear about that town and that city. I'm going to pray for a few minutes, and then we're going to just worship the Lord, and we're going to commit our lives to just go.